say this Mishnah, or let us all say together, without translating this, to be in my next step with you, and I will share my difficulty with you. I want you to learn how to do a piece of Gemara. You can't do a piece of Gemara without doing it without the Rashi. It's impossible. It's a closed book without the Rashi. So we've got to do the Rashi. This is quite a long Rashi. I don't want you to get lost in the Rashi. Not to do the Rashi and leave it to the Gemara, then you won't know the Rashi. To do the Rashi, you lose the Mishnah, you lose the sense of the Mishnah. So what I did last week, I went through it without the Rashi, if you remember, so that you should get the idea of it and you've got the hang of it. Now I want to do it with the Rashi now, but I intend doing it still in a slightly different way. There are really three Mishnahs that we are doing here. The one is that her Sela becomes 6 dinarim. The other one is about the Cooper, that she gets a tenth of what she brings in. The husband gives her that, a tenth, against what she brings in. He gives her a tenth for her cosmetics, that's the two. And the third one is that I told the Pinocchio. Now what I'm going to do with you is, and will you please use both your hands? What I'm doing, the text and the Rashi. That's the way to do it. The text and the Rashi. And I do as we go along. Poskola hachnis lokesofim salo naaso shisho dinori. She determines to bring into the marriage money, her sela becomes 6 dinarim. Rashi, poskola hachnis lokesofim, shehein muchonim mischar miyad. They are muchonim. I put up the word last time, mezumonim. Muchonim means ready. They are ready there. Lischar miyad, for business immediately. They are available, immediately available. It's cash. It's there. It's not at what he will get, yes. That's right. That's exactly the same word. I mean, muchon umezumon. The only thing is there you use both words. You can't read them. Who can't read the Rashi? Or you don't even need brains for to read the Rashi. All you need is fingers. And
I can follow. If I can tell which word you're on, I can tell which word we're going to. But I can't read it.
Can you work a computer?
Yes.
Well, you can work a computer. You can work this. Right. These simple things. Sal o her sela. Naase becomes. What does it mean? Her seller becomes lichto bishtar hakesubo, to write in the document of the kesubo the shisho dino, 6 dino. Yosef shlish, more. Yosef, it's more, a third more. It means a third more. Keep. I mean, pardon?
Again, using
Bilbad, the outside one, you see. A third more. Kidis nan le'el. As we learned, now the word tanan is always a Mishnah. As we learned in the Mishnah, le'el, before or above. Where did we learn it in the Mishnah before?
1,000 goes to 1,500. We even learned it.
1,000 goes to 1,500, you see, as we learned before. It's the same ratio. Now, the obvious question is, so why is it repeated here? Says Rashi, Uvi Gemoro Meforeish, and in the Gemara it explains, Ho Su, this further point. Su just means further. this further. Normally, what do I need it for? What do I need to be told that her seller becomes 6 dinarim? We know that if she brings in 1,000, it's got to give 1,500 dinarim. We know about that. Fine. So that part, so now we finished the first part of the Mishnah and the Rashi. Yes?
Can we simply understand this by the same logic which we understood the that one becomes one and one fourth? Before we were talking about bringing Kalim in and the valuation, the shum on Kalim, where you said, why do we need to discuss a shum in a large amount and a shum in a small amount? You said, because you might have thought that they will raise the shum if it's large, but won't if it's small, or vice versa. So perhaps here we can say, if she brings in 1,000, he raises to 1,500.
Rashi tells us, the Gemara will explain. So what have we got to speculate? Let's wait till the Gemara. Then we're on safe ground. Right, that is the first part of the Mishnah. Now please help me with this, because I don't want to, if it's a word you don't understand, fine. Because we're doing a technical exercise. But we've got to, Rabbi Yaakov David, anything worrying you there? Right. I just want you to know the word. That is the first part of this Mishnah. Now let us say the Rashi altogether. Posko Lahachmis.
Technique that was used by Grace Canal, the school here in UCLA. She developed a technique for kids who couldn't. Kids who had trouble learning.
Yes.
She had them trace letters with the fingers.
Of course. That is, you've got no idea what it is. It's pointing it with your finger, how it goes through. Yes. Good. I'm impressed. I'm impressed that this woman should have thought of it.
Something.
Yes, very good.
For her grandfather,
I had to go to Shiva and I had to learn Gemara before I knew it. Yes, she didn't even go to Shiva, she didn't learn Gemara, and she knew about it. Right. Now, let us go on. Now, the next part of the Mishnah. It's another Mishnah. Back into the text. Her choson. In the text, I don't know what those two words mean. Can anybody help me? The Gemara explains. That he gives her 10 zuzim lechol mono umono, for every mono. That's an expression that we use in Loshon HaKodesh, and I believe it's used in Hebrew also, in Ivrit it's also used. Every day. B'chol yom v'yom. Every month. B'chol chodesh v'chodesh. Every month and month. Every year. B'chol shona v'shona. It's an expression. So that he says, for every 100, l'chol mona umona. Shehi may be or no, for every 100 that she brings in, he gives 10. The yiknu lo mehem, and they buy for her from them, besomim. What are besomim? Spices or perfumes. It's all the word besomim is used for spices and perfumes. Lirchot bohem, to wash with them, betamrukei hanoshi, for the cosmetics of the women. Shekach, shiaru. That means shekach, for thus, because so, shiaru, that's another word for assess. They reckon, for so they reckoned or they assess. Sheho isho hamein vi o leva alo mono, because the woman hamein vi o, who brings leva alo to her husband mono 100, re uyo yi libesomim Shel Asura Zuz, the Uyohi, she is entitled to Besomim for 10 Zuz. That's the way they work it out. Now, says Rashi, Velo Pirshu B'Mishnah. Now, then, what does Pirshu mean? That's right. Velo Pirshu B'Mishnah, and they, from the word Meforesh. And they didn't explain in the Mishnah, Im Lechol Yom, whether for every day she gets it, Im Lechol Shabbos, for, or whether she gets it every week, Shabbos Yom means a week, or whether she gets it every week, Im Lechol Chodesh, or for every month, Im Lechol Shono, or for every year. Didn't explain it. Instead, but the Gemara will explain to us what it well, what it is. So there you've got the whole you've got the Mishnah and the Gemara. Yes,
we mentioned this before as well. But Rashi is known to be so incredibly concise.
Yes,
he didn't go on to say, or well, whether it's just once in a lifetime.
No, but you must understand.
And why talk about your emotions?
Rashi is teaching you Gemara. He's not teaching you Mishnah. If he would tell you, then you'd close him or you'd go. He wants to excite you into what's happening here? What's going to be?
Well, it's not just that, but Rashi's using the same language that the Gemara goes up to. The Gemara also says Yom Shabbat.
You're right, but I don't want to bring that point. What you are saying is that the Gemara doesn't reach a conclusion on it. No, because we ask a question. Once the Gemara asks the question, doesn't reach a conclusion, we're not going to have a sleepless night. Right. If the Gemara can't reach a conclusion, so I've got to worry about reaching a conclusion. It's all right, you see. But otherwise, but that is Rashi is Meforish be Gemara. He's not teaching you Mishnah. Rashi is teaching you Gemara. The Rav doesn't work like this, the Rav on the Mishnayos, because the Rav on the Mishnayos is teaching you Mishnah. He's not teaching you Gemara. And don't forget that the idea that you learn Mishnah independently of Gemara, it was a later development. The Rambam already made allowances for that. The Rambam already made allowances for that. But before the time of the Rambam, it was unheard of. You learned Mishnah, you learned immediately Gemara over it. But it was only, I mean, today, for example, when we learned Chumash, would we ever think of learning Chumash without Rashi? Now, we couldn't understand it without Rashi. But in those days, it was in the time of the Mishnah, it was understood, but in the time of the Amoraim and the time of the Gaoni, right up to the time of the Rambam, people didn't learn Mishnah separately. It was Mishnah Gemara. There was a tremendous amount of learning that they found. Fine, now let us, no more history. Just got to get onto the Gemara now. So that part we've done very well. What I would like to do with you now, let us read through the Rashi without translating, and just phrase it, read it correctly, and phrase it correctly. Please, will you take it? See what you can do with it. So,
didn't I do this last week?
Yes, we did. Yes.
I said, didn't I do it last
week? All right, all right.
As to Gemara.
Yes.
The Mishnah learns Paskel Achasot Sofim Selo Nasir Shisho, that we learn in the Mishnah that if she gives a Selo, he's supposed to give Shisho Dinarim, which is one-third more.
Yes.
As the Gemara, I'm supposed to connect them Chamisha Osimana. This is what
This is what we had in the previous Mishnah about giving 15. If you look at the previous Mishnah, the Mishnah starts at Pesach Mos. Take that as the first line. Mm-hmm. 1, 2, 3, 4. In the fifth line, second word in the fifth line, Pesach Kenegdon Chomesh Esrei Mono. He gives against that 15. 15 mona, that's 1,500 dinori.
Right.
1,500 dinori. Well, if she brings it 1,000, it gives 1,500.
So we learn that is the principle of the
Torah. Ask the Gemara, Haina Pesach Kenegdim Chavisha also mono. This that it says, her seller becomes 6 dinori. Is what we've learned before, that if he brings in 1,000, he writes into the Kesuba, he writes in 1,500.
Answers the Gemara, Tana iska rabba, v'tana iska zuta.
Yes.
We learn a large amount, and we learn a small amount. Utsricha, and we need both.
Yes. Utsricha, and we need both.
The itana iska rabba, if we would only learn the large amount,
yes.
We would think, why does he have to give 1,500 a large amount? The Nafish Ravcha, because he is going to use that for profit.
Now, the Nafish Ravcha, the word Nafish means more. And Ravcha, Rebach, the profit. The profit. Because the profit is more. Right. Try and get the words. Ravcha is profit. The Hebrew is Rebach. But in Russian HaKodesh, we use the word Rebach. 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 And there we use the word Ravcho. Ravcho. The prophet. And Nofish is much. The Nofish Ravcho. Ravcho, the prophet. Nofish is much. The Nofish Ravcho. Remember that expression. The Nofish Ravcho. The prophet is much. Because you've got to understand, if a person has got $1,000 to start off a business, and another person's got $10 to start off a business, the person's got $1,000 is going to make much more than the person $10. It's not a thing that in 6 months he will increase his capital by $10, by 10%. He might increase, if he's got $10, he'll only increase it by 10%, but if he's got $1,000, he can double it in 6 months. The more money you've got, it doesn't work just by a ratio. So it says no.
Merchant.
The e-tana is karaba. If he would have learned only a big amount about the Nofish Ravcho.
Because there's a lot of profit.
A lot of profit. That's why
he has to give one third more.
Avol
iska zuta,
zuta is more. Yes.
The zuta Ravcho, where there is little profit.
Less profit.
Amolot. You would think that he doesn't have to give a third.
Amolot.
So we say tzricha.
Is it amolot tzricha? No, I would say amolot tzricha. I would say it's not necessary for him to give it. I think that is the word we'll have to use. That is the way we'd have to do it, yes?
Uh-huh.
But you could do it either way. I think Betty said you want to do it. Aim or no, I would say no. Tzricha, therefore, it's necessary
to have the smaller amount.
Necessary to have it was very good, much better. Thank you. The
Iashmi'inan Iskazuta.
And now the converse. The Iashmi'inan
Iskazuta. If we were to only learn the smaller amount,
yes,
we would think
the Ziyuno,
because it's less.
less costly to manage.
That's right.
That's right.
Do you know, it's less costly to the
responsibility of it, right, and the requirements of
and the expenditure is less, the bookwork is less. Yes. He says, there you give back more avon isko.
Isko rava, the nofisiyuna, isko rava, a large amount where there is the consequent more work required in order to maintain it. Aim low. You would think that he doesn't have to give, therefore, an extra third. Sriha, that's why we have to have the...
That's why it's rava. Necessary. Now, what I want to do with you is, again, first of all, let us read this through without translating it. So you just get accustomed to the word.
What's
Zuter is small. Zuter is small. Rabo is large and
with the rake.
Zuter is.
My studies, this is so true. I mean, just in business, it fits in. It just
everything in the Gemara is true. No, I'm not saying. You see, you think that I speak with my tongue in my cheek. I don't. And if I give that impression, then there's something wrong with me. Everything in the Gemara is true. This is the remarkable thing. This is the great chesed of the Rebbeinu Shleimer. That there came a time when the Rebbeinu Shleimer saw that man cannot come back to the Torah on his own. In the time of Odom Arishon, it could be done. In the time of Avraham Avinu showed that one can. But after that time, after the time of the others, it couldn't be done. So the Rebbeinu Shleimer had rachmonis on us, he took pity on us, he had compassion, and he gave us a Torah. We've got something we can base it on. We've got a standard. We've got an absolute standard. We've got principles, basic principles. We've got postulates upon which we can build and which we can work. Only Shlomo gave us these things. That's all it is. I tell you these things because it's so important. Does anybody know what happened to Dr. Faust this evening? The Gemara says, I've spoken to you about this, the Gemara says, if the Torah wouldn't have been given, then we could learn. Gezel from the act. And it doesn't speak. And I remember how this used to fascinate me as a child. When I was a child, fortunately, there was no such thing as a nursery school. It wasn't necessary. It wasn't necessary. I spent my early years of my life making great discoveries only on my own. I used to sit outside, that there was a feather of water passing our house, and I used to sit and watch the water and come to conclusions by myself, and I'd sit and watch ants. I could watch them for hours. And I remember this so clearly, how they used to carry things. And one ant used to go and used to carry something, and then he had to go somewhere. So to leave himself. So he left what he was carrying, he left his load here. And he went to do what he did, excuse himself. When he came back, it was there. And the number of ants that passed and smelt it, but wouldn't touch it. Because the ants that were coming from this side to find the stuff to bring to make their home used to come, if they would have saved time, if they would have come here, they could have taken this one. Not have to go there. They smelt, it doesn't belong to somebody, left it, and they went off.
And that was communal property.
No, I understood, but this is, it's his work, and he's already brought it halfway, so to steal it, that they would never do. The Gemara says, a pigeon, morality. That's morality. Pigeon. Doesn't live with every woman, chooses his wife, and this is his wife. And I tell you that I saw this. That where I was living, there were beautiful gardens. I used to walk to chew through the gardens, and I used to watch the pigeons. And there was, the pigeons intrigued me for two reasons. First of all, that there were different types of pigeons. Some had a ring around the neck, and some didn't have a ring around the neck, and some had tips on their. Each pigeon they used to keep to their own. And then there was a pair of pigeons, two brown pigeons. Obviously husband and wife. One day there was only one. It remained one. He remained on his own, or she, I don't know which it was, on her own or on his own. Completely. Never mingled with any other. Was always on his own. Morality from the pigeon. A certain modesty, sneers from the cat, and all it says, hadn't the total been given. I could never understand that before. Could never understand. What does it mean? Hadn't the total been given. It was only when I came to California that I understood the Gemara. Then I understood the Gemara. Because what did they say to me in California when I met people for the first time? And I'm not going to tell you who the people were, because if I were to say to the people, you know what you told me 4.5 years ago, they'll say it's not true, we never told you that. But 4.5 years ago when I said to Kia, why do you... I said, look here, all this that's written in the Torah, this is a man thought it out. But who says it's true? It's not true. That is the way they lived then. Now we've decided it's better not to live like this. It doesn't matter if I take things that belong to another person. It just doesn't matter. Well, we don't live like that. Who says that he's got the right to it more than I have? We don't live like that. The Torah says, the Torah says, yes, you didn't say that. The Torah says, without the Torah, without the Torah. You can see you get respect for property. Even an animal has got it. If an animal has got it, then it's in nature, it's in the universe. It's not man-made, that is how it is. You can't tell me that all the animals got together and had a conference. Now, what do they call it? A convention, I'm sorry. They had a convention, all came together and decided, mustn't take anything that belongs to another animal. Didn't happen like that. All the pigeons didn't get together and said, look here, we're not going to, this is the way we're going to live, we're going to introduce marriage. They didn't do it. So to say that marriage, this is a barbaric thing. We are modern, we don't need it, we don't want it. It's not. You've got the pigeons, the animals have got it. So it means that it's in the universe. That's what it means. Everything that is in the Gemara. So the Gemara makes it easier for us. Gemara says, look here. Yeah, these are the laws. But everything that is in the Gemara is true. There's nothing in the Gemara that isn't there. We don't always understand it. The only thing that can be different in the Gemara, for example, the Gemara says that if a woman has a cesarean, the Gemara says, difficulty with the next child. Now, medicine has advanced to such an extent that you can have lots of cesareans. Well, we know you can have more, because that is the advance in medicine. Of course there's been that. But the Gemara says that if a person has a certain disease, he dies within a year. Today, of course, with advanced surgery and anesthesia, we can do things. But that was understood. But if it's not done, then that's what happens. The person does die. Those things. But everything that is in the Gemara is true. There's no question about it. Right. Yes.
One quick question about what you're talking about. As far as the animals go, the attributes that they have that can teach us certain things, are you suggesting that Hashem put those in the animals in order to teach us these attributes?
Avraham, I can't tell you exactly what it is, but I'm quite certain that the animal world is there for a purpose. It's there for a purpose. One of the purposes of the animal world, and this is a remark that my second son in Johannesburg made many years ago to me when we were walking once, and I said to him, you've got animals. The whole animal world, the whole animal life, made a very interesting point. And he said that it is necessary for us to have a view of life telescoped into a much smaller amount of time. And this is something that you can see in the animal world. An animal lives much less than a human being lives. And so you can see the whole, his whole cycle of life, you can see as it goes on. And this is something which the Rabbeinu Shlomo seems to be doing. A scientist once told me, this must have been about 1950, he said to me, what took 500 years, let us say from the year 1400 to the year 1900, then for the that was achieved from 1900 to 1950 in 50 years. And what was achieved from 1900 to 1950 was achieved from 1950 to 1955. That it has accelerated to such an extent. But that is not only in science, but that is in the whole politics of the world. So once upon a time, for a kingdom to fall, took 100 years, 200 years. Kingdom, what it was. Today it's happening all the time. Kingdoms change, fall. All this is taking place in front of our eyes, and we've got this experience, and it's all leading to something. There's no question about it. Now, please, I'm going through this Gemara again using both your fingers. Ask the Gemara, I'm just doing the Gemara and I'm showing you how you do the Rashi. Ask the Gemara, Hainu pose kenegdum chamisho osor mono. This that it says, that if she brings in a seller, it becomes 6 tomir dinorim, that is exactly the same as that if she brings in 1,000, it becomes 1,500 dinorim. Why do we need this repetition? That is the question. For that you don't need any Rashi. It's so simple and straightforward, you don't need any Rashi. Answers the Gemara. Look at the text of Tano isko rabo. Now when I see that word isko, I am in difficulty. Because the isko really means, the word isko means business. So the Tana, the Mishnah learns isko rabo, big business, The Tana is called Zutur, and the Mishnah learns little business. I look into the Rashi to see that word Isko is a little bit strange. Isko, I look at Rashi, here he is. Kesofim Kori Isko. Money is called Isko business. Sheheim Omdim Lehista Keirbohem, because they stand there in order to do business with them, Lehis are safe for him to me, to use them continuously in business. So Isko is another word, is a synonym for money. So Rashi helps me there. Now I've got it easier. Tono Isko Rabo, it speaks about big money, but Tono Isko Rabo, Isko Zutu, the Mishnah speaks about little money. Utsriho and it's necessary. But look at the Rashi a little bit further. Tono Isko Rabo, Elef Dinor, a big sum of money is Elef Dinor, the Rashi. She Yosef Shlish, where he adds a third, the Yichtov, and he writes Tes Vov Mono. Tes is 9 and Vov is 6, that is 15 mono 100. Isko Zuto, what is Isko Zuto? Salo, her seller, Naase Shisho Dinor, becomes 6 Dinor. Fine. Now says the Gemara, that is Utsriho, says the Gemara, and it's necessary. The Itono is Korabo, because if he would have learned the large number, the Nofish Ravcho. What does the Nofish Ravcho mean?
Profit
is more. Well, the profit is great, the profit is more. Abo is, therefore, he's got to give more money. Abo Isko Zuto, but where the profit is less, the Zuto, but where it's a small big number, the money is a small. The Zuta Rabcho, where the profit is less, aim or no, I would say no. Tricho, therefore, it's necessary to have the smaller number too. In the text, the E Ashmi Inon is Kozuta, and if it would let us know a small number, the Zuta Ziyuno. Now, I don't know the word Ziyuno. That's an unusual word. What do I do, Larry, Beck, if I don't know the word?
You look at the Rashi.
I look at the Rashi. What does Rashi say? Never fails. Ziyuna, Yetzio ve'achrayus. Yetzio means expenses. Yetzio, the expenses and the responsibility. The Zuta Ziyuno, the expenses and the responsibility for to do business with $10 is less. Avol Isko Rabba, back into the text, Avol Isko Rabba, the Nofish Ziyuno, aim or low. But where it's a lot of expenses, Avol Isko Rabba, the Nofish, aim or low, I would say, no, therefore, tzricho, it is necessary. Now, the next piece. David.
Har Chatan,
Mekabel,
Olav, Asira, Dina, Mekupa.
Mekupa. You are Ashkenazi. Becoming.
Becoming.
Yes, right. Rechoson Mekabel Olov Asor. So the Gemara just quotes the Mishnah. Rechoson Mekabel Olov Asor Dinor Mekupo. The Choson takes upon himself 10 dinor for the Kupo. Ask, yes.
My Kupo. My Kupo. Ask him, what is the Kupo?
Because what it means is the Choson takes upon himself 10 dinor le kupo for the box. What box? When box? Where box? That's what the Gemara. What is it? My kupo, what's the box? Yes?
Amar
Ashi.
Ashi. Kupa shall
besami. Besami.
The Kupa is for cosmetics.
The Kupa of the Sromi of Sodhi.
The Omer Rav Ashi, Lo Ne'amru.
Ne'amru.
Ne'amru. Devarim.
Alolu.
Alolu. Ela B'Yerushalayim.
Elo B'Yerushalayim. These words are said only with regard to Yerushalayim. Yes. Well, I just want to tell you, because I want to get you into the Gemara, because in Yerushalayim the women went extremely well dressed. They went extremely well dressed.
A
quarrel
part.
Are we pardon?
Just like quarrel part.
No. With great taste. So,
you want me for that?
Are you pardon?
I said, why don't I serve my fingers first?
therefore, since in Yerushalayim, they dress so well, so this applies only in Yerushalayim. That doesn't mean to say that she doesn't get anything in any other town, but in another town she would get less. She would get less. Mm-hmm. 4 years ago in Vienna she'd get nothing at all. Today she gets something. They got much better dressed. It's a pleasure. It's a big improvement.
There's all kinds of mincog at the
Medina. Have you pardon?
There's all kinds of mincog anyway.
It's all to the what?
The mincog.
Words are coming to
mincog, yes. Minhag. Yes, of course. That's right. Quite right. It depends. But this in Yerushalayim special provision is made that in Yerushalayim they went extreme. But I just want you to see. I want you to see what.
What's the joke?
What Kruma Seichel is. You know what Kruma Seichel is? Crooked thinking.
It's Seichel with a summer
sense? No, that's foolishness. Kruma Seichel, what crooked thinking is. Crooked thinking is when a person's left ear is itching, he does this, you see. That is, there is an idea amongst certain kinds of true women. I must say that this is going out of, this is fortunately is changing. They don't have to worry about their appearance. This is chitonius. Chitonius means exterior. We're not worried about it. We are worried about inside. Chitonius is external. I want to tell you that the Kovner Rob's wife, when she walked down the street, when the Terje Rob's wife went out, or at home, these were women. The way they dressed, the way they looked after themselves, the way they carried themselves, that was sterile. That was sterile. That is the way they there was nothing that was a no schlumper. They were particular about the way they look what it says. Where would you think they would pay less attention to cosmetics? In Tel Aviv or in Yerushalayim?
In
Yerushalayim. Now or?
Let's begin in the town of the Gemara. Look, in Yerushalayim there was the I know what you're going to tell me, say Yaffa.
Tel Aviv then.
Yerushalayim, there was the basin, the colony. Look what went on there. The learning that there was in Yerushalayim. We one day get in the Gemara, the learning that there used to take place in Yerushalayim. In Yaffa, it was a seaport. Lots of business. Always new people coming and going. where would they pay more attention to externals, would you say? I would say in the seaport. In the seaport. In the seaport. So what? Jerusalem 9 is the place where they were careful about their dress. Jerusalem was the place. In Jerusalem it was more than anywhere else. More Torah, this is what it meant. More Torah, this is what it meant. But in these places, in Eastern Europe, the Rebbetzin was the one who set the tone. Set the tone. The way they used to go dress. And to pride in their appearance. That was the way it went.
So they're not worrying about looking good. This is very, very recent then. It's just in
the... Who says it? I told you that there isn't a gap between the period between the two world wars and after the Second World War. It's not a gap. It's not a gulf. It's an unbridgeable gulf. Just too completely, it's completely different worlds. It's just not the same. And we are struggling and struggling to get something of that back again. Struggling and struggling to get something of that back again. Right.
Can we infer from this that if the woman comes from Yerushalayim, even though she doesn't live now in Yerushalayim, you would still have to give her in the kupah as if what
no,
they would receive?
No, you can't refer. No, you can't. Why then not? It gives her cause to the place where she lives. She's not expected to overdress.
But we also learned before that you're supposed to maintain a woman according to what she's used to.
Yes, that's right. It's what she's used to as long as it is within the how that place is. But it mustn't be out of all proportion. Mustn't be out of, can't be out of all proportion.
That is now, a sort of a conflict. I mean,
oh, pardon?
That is a sort of a conflict. I mean, if a woman saw that her mother was treated in such a way, then she would expect to be treated in such a way,
that's
no matter
right.
where she lived.
That's right. For example, but there is, let us say that you're living in a place, I mean, I know we're living in this is such a thing as being overdressed, which is distasteful. There is such a thing as being underdressed, which is unpardonable. But if a woman is overdressed, it is distasteful. And my wife, you find it is an effect, an evening effect. And the woman says, well, should she put on a long dress or not? She says, well, it's not done. So she won't put on a long dress, but it will be a very attractive dress. But to put on a long dress, that's not. So he hasn't got to provide for long dresses if it's not worn there. Do you follow what I'm saying? But for an attractive dress, yes. It's got to be the fique of the door that within that set up. That's got to be. You follow? In England, if you get invited out to an ambassador's dinner, you go with tails and white tie. If you go out to a general consul's dinner, you come with short jackets and black tie. And heaven help you if you turn up at a consul general's affair with tails and a white tie. You finish. Forever and ever and a day. You're overdressed. But it's according to your dignity to dress like that. When you come to a consul general's affair dressed like that, you're in fancy dress. You're not in dress anymore. Well, that is, you've got. But I come, yes. I've got a very nice suit on. Maybe better than the fella sitting next to me. But it's still, it's not tails and it's not white tie. Very nice suit. It's better quality than his is. My shirt is a much better quality than his is. My shirt is silk. His is rayon.
But then would you have to give to her according to what she was used to?
Yes, you give her silk. You give her silk. But a long dress, that's not worn. That's the way it works. Right. All right. Now, please, let's go on. Do you know what is the you know? The you know?
Management.
It says, Rashi, Yetzio v'achrayus. Yetzio v'achrayus. Two things. Yetzio v'achrayus. Have you got the word Yetzio? Yeah. You see, if, where's Yetzio? Yes, if it is on the side, that top, then it's a tzadi. If it's straight up, it's a lamed. Yetzio v'achrayus. Yetzio, expenses and responsibility. Birushalayim, can you see the word Birushalayim? In Yerushalayim, ho you know a ghostly his kashkeit bivisomim. They used to, they were accustomed, lehitzka sheit is to decorate, is a good word, fine, who can say, did you say, decorate is a good word. Lehitzka sheit, to decorate themselves, be besomim, with perfumes. In other places, they used cosmetics, but not perfumes. From the Gemara in the second Peiret, we know that all women used cosmetics. They used rouge, they used lipstick, they used for their eyes. All women did that. But evidently, fragrances was a very expensive thing. And fragrances all women didn't use. But in Yerushalayim, they used fragrances too. Eau de cologne or perfume, whatever it might have been. There they used it. So it was for that that they made for the besomim. That was extra that they made for her. But that was only in Yerushalayim. Right. Now, let us please go back to the Gemara. I would like you to say it all together, all again, from a choson makabel olov asoro dino. The choson...
Omitted the second phrase on Rav Ashi. You're still on Rav Ashi.
No, but it's another thing. It's another thing altogether. There's a connection with Omer Rav Ashi. That's another thing. No name, no devotee, my Lord. And then it quotes the Omer got from somewhere else. Omer Rav Ashi brings it here. El Brisha. Now, I'll do the next piece of but it's very, very easy. But I just have to get a move on with you. Boy Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi posed a question. B'mono ha-nishum o b'mono ha-miskave. He brings into the marriage. Have you got the place, Daniel?
Yes,
I do. He brings into the... What's happened to David Jocelyn?
He was preoccupied this evening.
2 weeks in succession. Occupied or preoccupied?
Preoccupied.
All right. Boy Rav Ashi. Boy Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi posed a question. B'mona ha-nishum o b'mona ha-miskave. Now, b'mona ha-nishum o b'mona ha-miskave. Is it the amount which is assessed? That is it 1,500? Has he got to give a tenth of 1,500? Over monam is covered. Or does he have to give a tenth of what he actually receives? That means that he's got to give 150 or he's got to give 100? Imkin so lomar, if you will say monam is covered, he gives the money that he receives. how much does he receive? Less or more?
Well,
less. Yom Rishon Okolyo. Is it for only the first day, or is it every day?
For your meal.
Now, the way we're going to learn this is like Tosfos. I'm giving you a pshat. First of all, if you will say the money that is received, 1,000, is that is 100. Does she get it Yom Rishon, the first day of Kol Yom, or does she get it every day? Now, it can't mean she gets every day 100. Because if she gets every day 100, that means in 10 days' time, he's given her. In 20 days' time, he's double. Right. He can't go on like that. So, obviously, it means 100 she gets. Does she get 100? Oh. And on the first day, she gets 100. Yeah, you've got 100. Do what you like with it. Oh, call Yom for Yom. Oh, he doesn't work like that. He gives her, every day he gives her 50 cents, 25 cents a day. Is that the way he does it? In Tim Tzolom Kol Yom Bo Yom, if you will say he gives her every day, Shabbos Rishono is, does he give her every day for a week? The first week of marriage, he gives her every day. That means he gives her $25 a day. Oh, call Shabbos for Shabbos. Or do we say, no, he gives them, he pays her by week. He gives her every week, he gives her a few dollars. Im Tim Salam, call Shabbos for Shabbos, Chodesh Rishon, you say it's for the first month. That means every week he gives her 25. Oh, or call Chodesh for Chodesh. Or we say, no, he doesn't. But he gives her every month, he gives her $8. In Tim Tzolomo Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh, you say Shona Rishon, is it for the first year, that means $8. Oh, Kol Shona V'Shona. Or he's got to see to it that it goes, it stretches out for every year.
Generating
$8. Well, he's got his way. It doesn't mean to say he gives. Now, he gives. Now, of course, in the earlier years of marriage, a woman needs it more than she needs it in later years of marriage.
Really?
Needs it a bit more, yes. A little bit more before the children come and she's going out more. She does need it more. But that isn't the point. But there's one thing... Let us do the Rashi on this, please. If you look, b'mona ha-nishim o b'mona ha-miskaber, do we work in the assessed amount that is in the 1500 or b'mona ha-miskaber what he gets? Hay l'chol mona u'mona dika'oma. This, every mona which it says, l'fi cheshbon ha-shuma ka'oma, does he say it according to the reckoning of the assessment? Or according to the reckoning of what he receives. The kablon olam, what he receives. The hainu pochus chomish, which is less than the... He writes 1,500, but he only gets... He gets...
Only 10 mal instead of 15. Yes.
No, Yari is speaking about the Shumo. The Mona Nishi Mona Mikabe, Hai Lachol Mono Mona Dika Omar, Lefi Cheshbon Ha Shumo Ka Omar, O Lefi Cheshbon Shehu Mekabla Nolov Dehainu Pochus Chomesh.
This is the case of that of Kaylee we're speaking about?
No, he's doing it. Rashi's working it differently. Rashi's working it differently. Tosfos doesn't work it like this. But Rashi's working it differently. I didn't notice this when I was learning this. Hailachol mono moradik omar, lefi cheshbon ha-shumo ko omar, does he say it according to the cheshbon of the shumo? O lefi cheshbon shehu mekablon olov. according to that which he receives upon himself, dahainu pochus chomesh.
The fifth.
And it's not, it's a third less.
Aren't we speaking then of a shum that took place, for example?
You follow, you follow? Because are we speaking about mezumonim, or are we speaking about kelim?
It has to be kelim.
If it's been speaking about mezumonim, he's got to increase it by a third milvah. That's, he's got to piece it by half. If he brings in 1,000, he's got to give 1,500. So I learned it. So when he's got to give a tenth of that for the besomim, is it a tenth of 1,500 or a tenth of 1,000? Which would have been very simple, you see. Now Rashi says no.
Rashi must be talking about the case where it's assessed if, you know, it's 1,800
case. Right. That's only for Shumo. That's only if she brings in Kaylin.
That's
what he
saw. Only if she brings in Kaylin, you see, but not if she brings. But not if she brings in money.
She may bring in Kaylin's assessed 1,000, and he'll say, "Well, that's 800," but they're over assessing it.
If he chesh ben a shuma ke omar, or if he chesh ben shuma kabra rovet.
You see, but it's difficult though, because over here you're talking about Kupa, you're talking about putting in mezuman.
And we said it was Umana.
He can bring in, Rashi is learning it differently here. Okay. Rashi is learning not on the money that the mezumoni.
Right.
Rashi is learning on the kelim that she brings in. And there's a reason why Rashi is learning the kelim. The Mishnah, then there's got to be like that also.
But then why the Mishnah doesn't talk about it? The Mishnah says Asura Dinarim.
Yes, but it could be Asura Dinarim of the kelim that she brings in. For every 100 that it is assessed, you follow?
Yeah.
So Rashi is works it on the basis of the kelim and not the zumonim, and Rashi is doing it with a purpose. He's doing it with a double purpose, but what I don't understand is going to be difficult from the Gemara afterwards. The reason that Rashi takes it rather on the kelim is every woman brings kelim into the marriage. She doesn't bring money into marriage.
Yeah. You might think that you can't give off kelim because
that's right. So kelim, every woman brings in kelim. There's no question about it. So does it give? That is one reason that Rashi does it. Another reason that Rashi does it is there doesn't seem to be any seichel to say that he's got to give a tenth of 1,500. He hasn't got that 1,500. He's only got 1,000. So he's got to give a tenth of what he, out of the goodness of his heart, gives him. In any case, he's still got to give a tenth of that. But in the case of what she brings into the marriage, there is a proper question. Does if she brings into the marriage and it is and he writes and she brings into the marriage 1,000, but what is actually written in is only 800, so does he give on 800 or does he give on the 1,000? There is, but it's not quite clear. The difficulty is going to be from a little bit further. But I would like to learn this Rashi still a little bit different. When Rashi says, "Bemona hanishim or bemona miskaber, hay lechol mona umora dikomer lechipi ches ben hashuma koor beomar, ou lechipi ches ben shehu mekablon." I think that in any case, the 1,000 that she brings in, there is no question that there he would get a tenth of that. That she would get in any case. We've got to learn it like that, otherwise the Gemara is going to be difficult from a little bit further, and we're coming to that straight away. Now, I would like you just to do this little piece, say this little piece of Gemara together with me, from Boi Rav Ashi.
More work.
It's a different type of cosmetics when she needs old. When she's old, it's a different type. It's a different type that she needs. Of course she needs it. And she needs it always. But it's a different type. It's not quite that same type. Of course she needs it. Now, please, let us go a little bit further. Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Have you got the place?
Yes.
Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Ma'aseh v'vito shel nakdimon ben Gurion. Rav Yehuda said that Rav said there was an incident, v'vito shel nakdimon ben Gurion, with the daughter of Nakdimon ben Gurion. Nakdimon ben Gurion was a very wealthy man. Sheposku lo, come along, Sheposku lo Chachomim, that the Chachomim designated for her Arba Me'el Zehuvim. 400 zehuvim le kupo for the kupo. 400 zehuvim for the kupo. Shel besom le vobeyo for that day. That day when they came, when she said, according to Rashi, her husband had died. Her husband had died. Shemeth balo, her husband had died, and she came to the Bezdin. And she asked for the kupo, and they gave her 400. Omro lohem, she said to them, kach kif sechunit lo seichem, is that what you would designate for your own daughters? The onu achareho omeh, and they answered after her, yes, that's what it is. That's what we would designate for our own daughters too.
No, so it wasn't enough.
Well,
she didn't think it was.
She said, "Is that what? What are you judging me by? Are you giving me according to what I brought into the marriage, or are you giving me setting aside a sum?" So they said, "Are you doing for your own daughters? What would you do? Set aside a sum." She said, "That's what we are doing. What we would set aside." She wanted to know whether she was entitled to more. Mm-hmm. Now,
doesn't that imply therefore that we go according to Medina, because otherwise it would be the same? In other words, were they saying that all the women get the same amount, were they saying, or all the women get the same percent?
You see, from what goes on further, you'll understand what happened here. Now, I've got to take you further. From next week in Hirtza Hashem, we begin from this little bit of Gemara that we discussed with the Rashi. We start Boi Rav Ashi. We start from there. But I want to be the repetition what we do next week, a much longer amount. So I've got to go on with you, and I would like you to pay attention whilst I read the next piece of Gemara. Tonu Rabon. Maaseh b'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. What does Maaseh mean, David?
An incident.
That is when you are not looking. Maaseh, an incident. Here you've got the word again. Omarab. Maaseh b'Vishashar. Maaseh. Tonu Rabbona. Maaseh. There was an incident. Tonu Rabbona. There was an incident. B'Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. With Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai. Shehoyo rochev al hachamel. Stuart, what is a chamel? A donkey. Shehoyo rach, he was riding on a donkey. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey. Vehoyo yotze Yerushalayim, and he went out from Yerushalayim. Vehoyo talmidi, talmidov mahalchin acharo. And his disciples were walking behind him. Ro'o rivo achas. Now, I can't expect you to know the meaning of the word rivo, so I'll tell you. Rivo is a young woman.
He saw a young woman.
Ro'o, he saw rivo achas, a young woman, shehoyeso melakete se'orim mibein galalei behemton. She was collecting barley between the droppings of the cattle. Why was it between the droppings of the cattle?
This was in the cart path, perhaps?
I think it was. This is, that's
it,
not
digested. But it wasn't digested.
It wasn't digested. Mm-hmm. Wasn't digested.
It from the droppings, of course.
Yes. Uh-huh. Going and finding the droppings and taking out the barley. Mm-hmm. So that from the barley she would be able to make bread. Mm-hmm. And animals were fed on barley. Mm-hmm. Not on wheat. They were fed on barley, which was much cheaper. So there wouldn't be wheat in the droppings. Now what does that mean? She is poor.
She's
very
poor.
But it says, Mibain Galilei Behemton Shel Arveim. In the, amongst the droppings of the animals of the cattle of Arabs.
Very poor.
Kevon Shel Roa So Esau. As soon as she saw him, she saw Rabbi Yochum ben Zakkai, Mis'at for Besaro. She covered her hair, she saw that her hair was covered, the Omdo lefono, and she stood before him. Omro lo, she said to him, Rabbi Parnasel, my master, sustain me, give me something. Omar lo biti, mi at. He said to her, my daughter, who are you? Omro lo, she said to him, Bas Nagdimon ben Gurionani. I am the daughter of Nagdimon, the son of Gurion.
Haven't we met her
before?
Yes. Yeah. Very good. Same woman. Omar lo, he said to her, Biti, my daughter, Momen shel beis ovich heichon olach. Your father was so wealthy. What happened to all that money? Now, she is a widow. What happened to all that money? Omro lo, she said to him, Rabbi, lo kadein, Maslin Maslo Birusholai. Maslo is a moshel. A mashal. Example, a metaphor. He said, isn't this the moshel, the example that they gave Birusholai? It's a sort of idiom, it's a phrase. An idiomatic phrase. Isn't Matlin is the bird from Matlo. In Matlo is a moshel. Mishlei, the proverbs. The proverb is a good word. The proverb. This is what they. This is the proverb they proverb. You see, Lokadein Matlin Matlo. Wasn't it like this that they proverbed a proverb? Birushalayim, Yerushalayim, Melech Momon Choseir. The salt of money is decreasing it. If I want to preserve anything, what do I use? Salt. That is why the Rabbeinu Shalom made the sea salty. Otherwise it would go putrid. So the Rabbeinu Shlomo made that there is salt in the sea. Doesn't go putrid. So if I want to preserve anything that it shouldn't go putrid, I put salt in it and I pickle it. And then I can keep it. How does one pickle money? He said, don't they say in Jerusalem, Melech Mammon, the salt of for money, Chosed is decreasing it. The Amri law and others say Chesed, not Chosed but Chosed, not with a raise but with a dollar. The salt of money is Chesed. He's giving it away, he's doing chesed with it. That is the way you preserve money. The ask Rabbi Yochanan of this daughter of Nadimon ben Gurion, the Shebeichomichonu, and where is the money that your husband gave you from his house? He gave you a tremendous amount of money. Omro lo, she said to him, Bo ze the ibeit ezde. They were mixed together. And you know, when a good man marries a bad woman, what happens?
He becomes bad.
No, it doesn't happen that way. It never happens that way.
If
a good man marries a bad woman, he becomes like her. If a good woman marries a bad man, he's got a 50-50 chance. But that's all. He's got a 50-50 chance.
Is that a
source for it? Yes. He's got a 50-50 chance, and that's all. So don't marry a woman and say, I will. Your chances are very, very slim. Always marry a woman better than yourself. I practice what I preach. Omrole, she said to him, Rabbi, you mix good money with bad, you send good money after bad, what happens to the good money? That's bad. She said, we put them together, put them into one box. Omro lo, she said to him, Rabbi, Zechor ato, do you remember Keshechosamto al Kesubosi? You signed my Kesuba. You were a witness on my Kesuba. Omar lo, do you remember that? She said to him, do you remember that you signed my Kesuba? Omar lo hen le talmido. He turned round to his disciples who were following him, and he said to them, Zocher ani, I remember, Keshechosamti al Kesuboso shel zo, when I signed on the Kesuboso of this woman, Vohisi Korebo, and I read Elef Alofim Dinrei Zoho Mibes Ovio, 1,000,000 dinorim from her father's home, chutz michel chomio, outside that which she brought in, which her husband put into the sibra. Outside that, she brought in 1,000,000.
So she got less than the 10%.
The 400.
Yeah.
That's why Rashi says, when he died, she was poor then.
She blew it away.
When she died, she wanted amongst Rashi learns that when she died, she wanted a sum.
When
he died, she wanted a sum, something to be able to go on for the coupon.
Right.
That is what they gave her.
Where did all this money go?
Why?
Do we understand?
Because I don't understand.
Look here, I heard of a certain person who in Los Angeles lost $20 million.
No.
And he told me that without blinking an eyelid. And he said it was nobody's fault. Three things happened that were completely unforeseen. He said, I had the best man, Everything is a three things happened that were unforeseen. He lost 20 million. Shukrit, he took it quite calmly. Are we pardoned?
So
Ferry
doesn't seem to be
too
upset either.
Who? Ferry
doesn't he?
Oh, he's quite calm about it. Now comes the important thing. Vocho Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai wept about Omar, and he said, Ashreichem Yisroel, how happy you are, O Israel. Bizman she'osim the tona shel mokam. At the time when Yisroel do the will of the Rebbeinu shel Eilam, ein kol uma veloshen shel letters for him. No nation has got any say over them. No nation. When the Am Yisroel was at its height in the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech, nobody, none of the nations round about, there was Bobel, there was Ashur, there was Yitzrayim, nothing could touch them. Ubizman she'ein osim ritzono shel umo. I'm sorry, Ubizman she'ein osim ritzono shel mokam. And when they do not do the will of the Rebbeinu Shalom, Mosron Beyad Umo Shefelo, he hands them over to a low nation. Velo Beyad Umo Shefelo, and not only into the hand of a low nation, Elo Beyad Behem Tom Shel Umo Shefelo, but into the hands of the cattle of an Umo Shefelo, not even into the hands of a low nation. Don't do the will of Hashem. So there was something, yeah, he says, this happened because the will of Hashem wasn't carried out here. But that's not my question. My question is, Bocho Rabban Yemushi Ben Zakkai, he cried, and he said, Ashreichem Yisroel, happy is Israel. First of all, if happy is Israel, why do you cry? And secondly, what kind of happy is Israel? What kind of happiness is it? To collect barley from the dung of cattle that belong to Arabs? What kind of happiness is it? That is a question that Reb Yosher Ber Soloveitchik asks. That is the first Reb Yosher Ber. That is the great grandfather of the Reb Yosher Ber in Boston. That is the father of Reb Chaim Brisker. That's the question he asks. That I will deal with next time. But it has a lot to do with what I am discussing with you now. It has a lot to do with that. And that is, I'm discussing with you the hatred that the Goyim have for us. And last week I discussed with you the Midah of Uz. The Jew has a forwardness which is obtrusive and it is ostentatious to the point of impudence, more than any other one, more than anybody else. Somebody told me once that Lincoln said about Jews, he said, Jews are exactly the same as everybody else, only more so. I don't know if it's true. That true. Did you ever say that?
Lincoln never said it.
Didn't say
it. No, but
he said it.
It's, I think Mark Twain may have someone like that. Black but it's conceivable, but not Lincoln.
That's where Mark Twain wrote about you.
Anyway, so that is, and we discussed why is it true or isn't it true. We came to the conclusion that it was true. Not only is it true, but we found that the Gemara sort of says, the Gemara says, "Az be'umos Israel." The impudent ones amongst the nations of the world, that is only the Jewish people. As the ophos, amongst birds, the Tavnagol is the cock. Amongst animals is the kel. The kel. These are the find is impudent. But amongst nations is the Jew. That's what the Gemara says. And there is a midrash which says, on the midrash when Hashem says, Am kishay oretu, Hashem says that the Jewish people is stiff-necked. The midrash says there, this is Azus, and it says, quotes Rish Lakish, that all the umos Israel, the impudent ones amongst the nations are Israel, and there it says, and that's got to be. And the reason it's got to be like that, as we discussed, was to keep the Torah and not have this others, not have this forwardness, it would have been impossible. And the Hashem gave the Am Yisroel the Torah, and in order that they should be able to carry the Torah, they had to have others. That's what we discussed last week. Finished? Did we get any further than that? But I did tell you that there were other properties that the Jew has more than anybody else has. I wonder if you've ever had it said, and let me say, Jews love money. Who doesn't love money?
Yaakov and Mikhail.
Who doesn't love money?
Yes.
But Jews more than money. Is it true or isn't it true?
Absolutely.
Is it true that they people say so?
Certainly.
Is it true what they say? That Jews love money? You always want things to have a proof. It's a proof.
Well, I think that's our unions were proof from the
somewhere, must be approved.
I thought it was more related to our going from country to country, becoming involved in
It says in Kohelet, Ohev Kesef, Lo Yisba Kesef. A person who loves money will never be satisfied with money. You'll never have enough. I was once in the fame to have it when a person came up to me with a glass of champagne. I'm drinking and I want you to drink together with me. He said, what for? He said, today I've now completed my first reader. I said, and what are you going to do now, Mr. Tarver? And I knew exactly what the answer said. Make my second reader. Goy wouldn't have said that. A goy would have said, I'm going to enjoy it. Goy would never have said my son. But I knew what was coming. A goy would have said, I'm going to enjoy it. To me, it was always strange that a goy will think of retiring at 45. And you ask, I've made enough. Oh, yeah, I want to enjoy it now. A junior. Well, he goes on working till the very end. Till the very end, he's got a chance to make a deal, he's doing it all the time. Ohev kesef lo yisba kesef. A man who loves money never satisfies.
we discussed what happens if a Jew doesn't use his forwardness for Torah. Doesn't use his forwardness for Torah, he uses it. Out it will come. It's got to come out somewhere. So where does it come out? It's behind you. He doesn't use it for Torah. Use it for others. Use it for others. My first experience of an Orem Goro was the Ponavidero. Ponavidero came out of South Africa. I was a child. He came out of South Africa. That was my first experience. I had never seen anything like this before. He came with a kapotte and he walked. He was completely different from anybody else. This is what he's doing. You think you don't need Azus for that. You need a certain forwardness for it.
What's the
thing? Yeah. Always case it like this. What is he doing?
It's the same with a
kapotte, a long black coat.
Oh,
but not till he's knees. And not to his calves, he was right down. He was a, the point of his Jerome was such a handsome person, even in his old age, it was there. It was the first time that I'd seen an Orem Goro. If you take, when Shlomo Melech says, always case it like his broadcast. He says in Kehelet, in Ecclesiastes, person who loves money is this. If he loves money, then there's no end to it. About whom is he speaking? Only about Jews. The term is for Jews. He's speaking only about a Jew. Oev Keser, blow his part Keser. And if Shlomo Melech says it, then it's total. There is no question. That is, that's the truth. Can't be otherwise. Just try and understand what love is. Do you know, I find it very difficult to talk to people today. Very difficult. Because it's such a different world. I want to tell you what love is. You know, a man is in love with a woman. And she doesn't return the love. She's got another person. You know what he does? Kills himself. Commits suicide. Can't live without her. Do you know the story of Romeo and Juliet? It happened with a royal couple in Vienna. Couldn't live without one another. They killed both of them, killed themselves. Now, you know, and I give you, that is love. Can't live without her. You know what? If you can't take one's life, you can't. There's another woman. He's in love with this woman. I can find you two other women. More beautiful. He's in love with this woman. That's love. Can't live without her. Now, how can I explain that? It doesn't exist anymore. Today he kills the other man and finishes. But you see, I can't give you. I'm trying to explain to you what love is. How can I get you across? I mean, it's a different world. I can't get the message across. How do I do with it? The best example I can give you of love. There's been such a deterioration. I can't explain to you what love is. Why do I give you that example of love? I mean, today you read it in the books and it's a fairy story. Because you don't believe. You say it's not real. It's not real. I mean, imagine a film. You show a film today, and the theme of the film is
Now, a man is in love with a woman, he's so much in love with a woman that he commits suicide. And Michael Medved has got to criticize that film. He'll make a mess of it. What you say? This life is artificial. Isn't that so? It's artificial. It doesn't ring true. And I'm trying to convey to you what love is. The love of Torah, Avas Torah, that is the love of Torah. Can't live without it. That is what the Jew has got. He's got Avas Torah. He can't live without it. Now, since the time of the Crusade, time of the bloodshed, time of those messages, it went up for a period of 200 years at its worst.